Hey, Pants people. I just wanted to stop real fast and say thank you so much for listening. We love getting to know you guys and interacting with you, whether it's on the Discord, social media, anywhere. So this one's for you.
Well, that's odd, but that's okay, because we have a way more exciting guest to hear from tonight. Welcome back, Stop!
Hey!
Hell yeah!
Good to be back. It's been a while.
It's so awesome to have you back.
Oh my gosh.
Man, this is great. I like the new studio. This is super cool.
Right? Cool new digs.
Yeah. God's country. Yeah, a little bit. I've been listening to the latest episodes, and you guys are sounding great. How many are you up to now? 140.
I think this is 147,
I think.
Okay.
That's, I think 147.
Crazy.
That sounds about right.
Incredible. Yeah, that's amazing. Still grinding away.
Mm-hmm.
Doing our darndest.
Yeah, that's awesome. What about live shows? Any more live shows lately?
We had our second back in spring.
Yeah.
And we'll probably have one more for this campaign at least this coming spring, I'm hoping.
Mm.
We're currently in our march to 200. It's kind of crazy. And march to the end. Like, we are going into, following this sort of mini arc on Teletopec, we're going into some very climactic, I would say our penultimate arcs, which are going to be happening, you know, kind of simultaneously. We'll get to that. We'll get to that, Jeremy.
Why me?
That's awesome.
But yeah, so I figured I was so glad you could make it in tonight. Thank you so much for making the drive over. I know you are insanely busy with everything going on.
Mm.
Those who don't know, Stomp is the busiest person in the world. How's your summer been, by the way?
It's been good. Yeah, I mean, we had those few oppressive days and of humidity. So I was on the couch quite a bit, actually. Not that much hiking or anything. Yeah, dealing with a little orthopedic thing with my left hip that's starting to bite me.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah. Well,
I remember.
Yeah, I had the right one done. Now the left one's starting to catch up, so I got to take it a little easy. But
yikes.
Busy with the studio, doing my own personal recording and stuff like that. And,
nice.
The summer was busy with a lot of trail running DJ sets, which was really neat. I've fallen into this neat community.
What?
Just spinning EDM for trail running races.
Talk about the ultimate niche.
That's so cool. Yeah, it's like I picked up DJing and the whole thing way back in like junior high school, and to come full circle and be able to do EDM in this community with trail running events and whatnot is just amazing. So this year I did Mount Washington Road Race and several other races for Aravaipa, White Mountain Endurance. But the big one, the big enchilada, is Mount Washington Road Race, which to me is just such an honor.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's super cool. So yeah,
talk about like the ultimate mashup of passions.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, how else? Yeah, where else can you find something like that? So cool.
It's weird.
Yeah,
it's wicked.
Good
weird
for you, man.
But I'm digging it.
Also shows that Stomp has a foot in every door, like every hobby.
That's my life. I'm a jack of all trades, but master of none.
Yeah.
And I do get bored easy. I hate to say it, but.
Well, thank you again so much for coming out, taking time, and joining us for, I think, MNRF's last episodes in our campaign. It's crazy to put a wrap on a character, but
yeah,
this really shows we are getting there, folks. We are getting close.
Mm-hmm. Only got 2.5 years left.
I know, right?
Yeah.
and I don't want to derail us too much, but in between like major arcs, we do like behind the scenes episodes, and I think pretty much every time somebody will submit as a question, when is Emin Rath coming back?
Yeah,
it happens all the time. So, and it's like, you know, we try to like play it cool. We're like, oh, he's coming back. So
I'm always available. I mean, busy guy, but I'm glad to come in.
It's part of this occasion. I want to show you this. This is super, super cool. One member of our community, Zila, Astropathic Art on her Discord, has been known to create some incredible portraits of our characters.
Mm.
and yours. Say hello.
Oh my god.
To Amon-Rath.
Amon-Rath character art.
Pretty intense.
Got Zephyr Strike going on that blade.
Wow, no so kidding. Cool. You have the boots. Awesome. You have the long jacket. Yeah.
The boots of the long strider, actually, that you've had since the beginning.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's top knot.
The top knot.
Fancy.
So awesome.
Thank you very much.
A new token for you in our map based on the art. And thank you, Zila. Again, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, very generous. Very generous with their time and talents. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I always thought I was more of a dwarf, but now I look like a Shogun warrior. Very cool. Very cool.
We always look so much cooler when Zila.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. She makes us look good.
Well, if you guys are ready for us to start on our first final. Are you ready?
To. Yeah.
All right. Now, I hope it's okay if I get kind of dark here. I'm going to put you through it just a bit, Stomp.
Mm-hmm.
Let's set the scene. Pink petals caught in a warm breeze. They fall beneath the branches of a lone sakura tree that stands in the training grounds of Ozen Yoshikatsu and his few disciples. We see these petals gently falling, then pulled in a wind flowing around a long blade in the hands of a young Amon-Rath, who stands beneath the tree of discipline in his usual spot. Ground's kind of worn right there on the grass where your boots normally stand. Amon-Rath, you are currently engaging in a 1,000 swings punishment. Basically, you've been asked to commit to 1,000 earnest sword swings, or at least to swing until you can no longer raise your arms. Sweat drips down off your face, your arms, every swing. It feels hot. Too hot, you think, as you look up into a sky of heavy gray clouds. You swing and you swing and your wrists are just burning hot. And you hear footsteps approaching you. The clank of armor. You see Ozen, wearing his full black plate, a single eye peering out from the mask of his Kabuto helm, looking amused. His sleek black beard is wet with sake, and he holds his usual drinking gourd and a sake bowl as he comes towards you. Now, you know you are here, because earlier today, I think you had an altercation with Ozen. I've noticed Ozen and Amon-Rath have had a kind of a touch-and-go relationship, and so I think there was an altercation, and you struck your mentor, and so you've been sent to do this. But now, without a word, he stops before you, pours from the gourd into the bowl, and offers it out to you. You look thirsty. Here, have a drink. You may put down your sword. You have seen enough discipline, I think.
What is this?
The finest sake for a fine student.
Oh. No pain, no gain. Now's the time to train with some sake.
You gonna drink it?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
You raise the bowl to your lips and you drink, and you could feel the liquid, but you don't taste it. You don't feel it in your throat. Your throat is so dry. You're so thirsty. And Ozen begins to speak.
I have come to offer clarity, Amon-Rath. Do you understand why you are being punished? Well, this time.
No, please inform me.
It is not because you struck me, I should tell you. It is because when you struck me.
And he kind of raises the mask of his helm, and you see his face lined with some age. You see the eye that is just an empty socket. He points to his cheek, completely unmarked, and says,
when you struck me, you did not leave a mark. You are the wind itself, willful and free. I do not expect to mold the path you will take through our worlds, nor would I want to. My pupils will never be shackled by my expectations, for I am a man with little imagination. My goal has always been to reveal to you the power you can wield, so you may choose your own path, Amon-Rath, any path. But there is just one thing I would ask of you. I think he brings a hand down onto your shoulder, very fatherly, looks to you with his one eye staring into yours. Leave a mark, Emonroth. Find a passion, a quest, and before your time is done, leave your mark on the conquered worlds.
I've had no idea you would say that to me. I will consider your words. We've had our attentions. Our story goes long and far back. But I will consider your words.
And I hope you'll stop calling me the Big O.
No, I like that part.
It's very embarrassing in front of Blanche.
It was merely for convenience.
How is that?
It's called an abbreviation.
I think you see Ocean just starts laughing at this. Just this light chuckle. And as he laughs, he begins to fade away. It all begins to fade away. The sakura tree, the gray sky, clouds building with sweet, sweet rain. All fade away. And it's so hot. And you remember that this isn't real. Just a memory. Another hallucination. One of many that you've been experiencing. Because you are dying, Emonroth. A bleary reality pulls back into focus. You stand in a room that feels akin to a stone oven. A temple shrine built into the side of a volcano, a gateway into its caldera. The Gate of Illumination is what they call it. The temple of a volcano known as Jade Mount. The air around you is heavy with smoke and heat. An innate magic built into the black stone of the shrine makes the volcanic gases non-toxic and keeps the heat low enough to not immediately cook you. But it is still so hot. The iron manacles that chain you to the walls are burning your wrists with this heat. The smell of sulfur in the air is so overpowering. The room you've been kept in, kind of like the main chamber of this temple, is closed off from both the caldera and the world outside. You have no idea how long it's been since they caught you in their trap. There is light here, but only through strange veins of magma cooled by the innate magic that run through the walls in this temple. You stand shackled, and you may look at the map if you so desire, in the southeast corner of a broad pillared hall. All on the walls are murals depicting people through the ages receiving blessings from the gods. I lost my notes. The various volcanoes of Tletepec. A stone double door stands at the far north end of the room while stairs rise to the west and another hall opens to the east. There's a wide mouth to a natural cave tunnel just across the wall from you, the southeastern corner that leads out to the mountainside that you cannot see inside it. I'm in a wrath. You and Bink had followed a lead to this world, the world of fire, a world riddled with volcanic activity. You had acted on the dying words of another major player in the Snake Eater Poachers, a dark elf hunter named Rhea Chelray, which is hilarious, who told you that the head of the snake was a god on Tletepec. These words, this path, led you right into a trap. Fire elementals, taking the forms of burning, spine-covered serpents, have been waiting for you. I have to ask you now, Bink is not here with you. Mm. And I'd like you to tell me why.
Poor Bink.
Oh, no.
He's my source of inspiration in this moment. I lost him following those words of advice. We ended up in a trap. And we were captured for a short period of time. But during that time, we were forced into cannibalism.
Oh, God. Oh, shit.
And we had to make a brutal, brutal decision. We had a long conversation.
And Holy shit.
And I said, Bink, I cannot do it. And Bink looked at me and said, you must do it to carry on. I give my body so you may survive to carry on the campaign. So I did the unthinkable. And I ate my poor Bink.
Oh my God. We're like playing dark chicken. I'm like, all right, hope you're ready for the stomp. I'm going to get real bleak. And you're like, ha, 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 ha. You have no idea.
Oh my gosh.
So I find myself in this situation now, and whatever must be done, I will do it for Bink, because he saved my life.
So while you are thirsty, you're not very hungry as you so he's suspended on this wall.
Poor Bink.
Poor Bink.
Holy shit.
Yep. He tasted all right, though.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he tasted all right.
I mean, you probably cooked a little bit in here. It's not...
Slow roasted.
Oh, God. Oh. Smoked.
There you go.
Yeah.
So...
Amazing. As you've been here, these elementals known as salamanders have come and gone from this temple. Right now they are totally gone from it, from what you've seen. You've heard them speak to each other in Ignan, a dialect of elemental primordial. And you, I discovered while updating your sheet, just so happen to have chosen elementals as your favorite enemy as a ranger. Mm-hmm. Due to this, you've actually understood enough of their language to give you some idea of the full story here.
Wow.
So let me give you a quick boom bam of how the Snake Eaters were formed. Some time ago, a powerful elemental spirit called a Teleshalotl, a mere myth among the people of Tladabek, awoke from a centuries-long slumber deep in the caldera of Jade Mount. This Teleshalotl, called Pawaladin, was hungry. Pawaladin's funny.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Groan.
You know, you didn't have to say anything.
I had to. You didn't laugh hard enough.
I just thought it was a cool fantasy sound.
Yeah,
see? I did a good job.
Yeah.
It is seamless. In the nature of these creatures to wake and to feast until they sleep again for more centuries. And so Pawaladin sent elemental minions into the forest around to hunt. And they brought back a hunter, a dwarven man with frosted tips named Guy Safari. Enamored with Guy's stories of wondrous feasts from various different worlds, worlds that Pawaladin remembered as pieces of one united world, the Teleshalotl decided it would not be satisfied with what was offered it here on Tladabek. It granted Guy ancient knowledge, told him of secret places filled with rituals and magical items, and granted him the title of Kathdrakon, Snake Eater in our modern language, though it once meant so, so much more. It did this in order to start an organization of hunters. And until your investigations and subsequent annihilation of many branches of this organization, until now, that had been succeeding. You have broken this organization in so many ways. You, Emonrath, have done so much. But your efforts have enraged this creature, denied it much feasting, cut off many allies. A short while ago, it tried to use an ancient artifact to summon your allies, Blanche, Jules, and Jean, into a death trap at a cool live show. You might have wondered why you were not called, but now you know. It wanted to destroy you. It always wanted to destroy you personally, and soon it shall do so. And so I have to ask, how does the usually jovial Emonrath face his coming demise? We've all known him to be a wild and free spirit, unfazed by hardship. Even after cannibalizing his friend, does he face down the heat, the thirst, with an easy smile? What is Emonrath, what is your expression now as you wait? Oh, God.
I'm smiling with a wide grin, thinking about Papa Rath and Mama Rath at the Silver Hills. No matter what the situation, they would always bring out the smile. But I'm curious about, if I'm dying, can I use any of my spells to heal myself? Or is that for another object?
If your spell, I will say, your death at this point isn't coming from damage. It's coming from just like a slow heat. And eventually, when you're weakened enough, they're going to probably bring you into the next room, into that caldera you have not seen, to meet... Okay. Pawaladin face to face. You are awaiting execution.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll say you're not. I won't give you exhaustion points. I won't give you damage because that would be the most shitty thing in the universe.
What about the passive abilities? Investigation, looking for a way out of my.
You know what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me a roll. I like this. You've been spending your time trying to figure out if there's a weakness, perhaps the manacles.
100%. Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
An 18?
18's pretty good. Oh, plus three.
21.
Okay. It's been taking a long time. Emonrath, the wind so hard to trap, so hard to hold down. The shackle of your right hand, where it's tethered to the wall, you felt a weakness, a crack in the stone, sort of around one of these sort of magma lines giving light to the room, and you've been slowly kind of working at it, kind of prying it when no one's been looking.
Is it my sword hand?
Yes.
Oh. Because I could just cannibalize myself. Some good practice. I have good practice.
You might need that hand later.
Yeah. You realize you might not need to go there, as you are very close to breaking yourself free of this. Perhaps with at this point, as you're waiting here, with one last strong pull.
Let's do it.
Do you want to give me an athletics check? Let's see if you can get out of this thing. It's been weakened enough. You heave with everything you've got.
10 plus 2. 12.
You feel it give just a little bit shift, but not quite. But you know if you just keep working at it, you're exhausted. But if you just keep working at it, maybe. You're so close. Maybe. Because as you've been left shackled to this wall, facing death and pondering a rather haunting question, a question asked by the samurai that once trained you, you have to escape because have you left your mark, Emonrath? If this creature in the next room survives, then much like the lush forest of this volcanic world, the scorched earth, the snake ears will grow trees and bear fruit again. As long as the head of the snake lives, their vicious crimes will continue, and you know that, and you pull and pull because you are the only one that could stop them now. And as you're pulling, as you're feeling this giveaway, you're so close. Another hallucination begins to play before your eyes. Another hallucination as you see a strange sight poking up from the tunnel entrance of this chamber. You're like probably pulling and you stop for a second when you hear a strange sound and you see, like you hear like a and you see a snoot of some animal sniffing at the air, kind of poking around the tunnel entrance and then pointing in your direction. The beast, looking kind of blurry with your eyes as you're kind of straining, fully moves around the corner and comes bounding towards you, coming into focus. There's a dog in the volcanic temple, an elderly Akita by the looks of it. The animal is wearing armor quite similar in style to Ozen's, an ornate samurai's plate with a katana sheathed within reach of the beast's mouth. It looks at you for a moment, then cocks its head to its side.
Are you Emonrath? The one who would call Master Ozen the big hole, rough, shameful, bad, rough.
The dog says.
Yes, I am.
You see he turns to look back at the tunnel behind.
Roof, he is here.
And two figures scramble in behind this dog. Even blurred in your eyes, they are immediately recognizable. One is Blanche Trudeau, and the other is Jules LaRoche.
Wow.
What was the...
Yeah. I'm sorry. This wasn't a notes that I was like, hey, never mind.
Laughing at something for later.
Maybe.
Blanche rounds the corner and she goes straight to Emonrath to try to unbind him.
Hell yeah. I should tell you, actually, as you guys are moving to this room, give you an update on your situation. Your journey was not an easy one. 25 miles through thick forests and deadly volcanic terrain. Occasional earthquakes would rock the land as you approach closer and closer to Jade Mount. But Akio did find a scent when you were far enough from the well-traveled lands. Magical blood, elven and human mixed. Emonrath. The scent brought you to a trail that climbed into the mountains, the haze of volcanic smoke hanging overhead. The path ended at the entrance to a cavern carved with images of divine figures and gigantic lizards amid cracking mountains, clouds, and geometric flourishes. A cavern that opened into this room. But as I said, it was a hard journey, so I do have to ask one very familiar question to you guys. How many spell slots did you use?
Oh my god.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
I'm going to keep this one very simple.
Holy shit.
Just a way to balance out having only a single played out encounter on this day. Uh-huh. I'm going to dock a set 80 HP from all of you. Every spell slot level or ability you used will remove 10 from this.
What?
Whoa.
So you have burned all of your short rests for the day. Sorry, I don't make the rules. I just enjoy them.
So we have to burn basically eight levels of spell slot
between,
in order
between the three of you.
So like 2 4th level spell slots, and you essentially take no damage.
But it's for all of you. The 80 is
for everyone. Sorry, yes. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. You guys decide. You just need to burn.
I was like, David, that's cruel even for you.
A bardic inspiration will count as 10. It'll count as a 1st level spell slot if you want to burn those. Okay. But basically, I need you to burn between the two of you 8 spell slot levels or abilities.
Okay.
Jesus.
Just to balance this out, and no shards, because
How much does a blade song cost?
I'll give it 20 on that. Blade song's pretty crazy.
What about like performance and creation?
20.
Okay, I will do a bardic and performance.
Okay, so 30 on jewels.
30 total.
All right, I can make up the rest. Easily. Ah, sure. Yeah.
I mean,
you could burn an Akio armor point too if you want to burn one of those, or like his second wind or anything from him.
Not his second wind. Sure, I'll do one of his armor points.
Okay.
I'll use a blade song.
Ooh.
That's 60 now. We need
so a second level spell. I'm gonna keep my first level spells.
Okay.
Screw it. I'll just burn a second level spell.
So you've exhausted some resources, but you enter this place unharmed.
Yeah.
And then you come in and you move to Emonrath, who you see is just about to, like, you see like the manacle where it connects to the wall is the hook's almost out. Perhaps with a second person pulling, that's all you would need.
Blanche grabs the chain. It looks like you would have gotten out of this sooner or later yourself.
What took you so long? Let's go. Start yanking.
The dog only has 4 legs. We can only travel so fast. And she pulls.
Akio grabs like Blanche's pant leg to also pull.
Sounds like a positive outcome.
Go ahead and give me another athletics check. This time, I guess take advantage.
Yeah, so roll twice and add 2 to the highest.
Actually, add 4, because you're getting double advantage. He was helping too. Sure. Let's give it to you.
12. And 2. So 12, and then...
And then plus 2 for 14.
14.
And then plus 2 for Akio helping
of
it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 16. With a 16, you're... And then... The manacle slides out of the wall. One arm is completely free.
Nice.
Okay. You guys can start work on the other. It might take a little while, but is there a faster way you can think of to break this other?
I don't think anybody has.
I don't have any weapons on me, right? I'm assuming.
Your weapons, you know, are being held basically in one of the other rooms. Of storage up those stairs.
Mm. Ozen's sword, Ichigenka, automatically does max damage on.
That's so cool.
On items.
Your master sword,
on any
Blanche.
Items, whether it's a door or a chair.
Blanche has it.
Well, you have it.
Blanche. Yeah,
They kind of killed Ozen's dead body a while back.
Oh, got it.
And got the sword. Also, this dog...
He was taken over by another bad guy. We thought it was him, but it wasn't really him.
There you go.
And this dog that's here, you probably know from letters, is likely Ozen's final disciple, Akio the Akita, who he took on his last few years.
Got it.
Now you're all caught up.
The big A.
The big A. No, Ruff, don't you dare. He's a bad dog. Leave him. Don't cut him free, Ruff.
Hold still, Emin. And with Ichigenka.
You're so proud
cuts him free.
To finally do this.
It's the first time I've ever used it on an item.
I love the idea of Ozen's blade is the one that like finally sort of like gets like, that last bit of freedom for
like
you.
Butter.
Just cleaves. Yes, yeah, seriously. Bing! Parts the chain like it's nothing. And you are free. You probably can use a sword to like help break it. All the manacles fully off the wrist. So you have just like full freedom of movement.
I'll just keep it on. It'll just remind me of this travesty.
And of your moving dearly forward. Departed Bink. You see a skeleton in the ground next to him. It's
what,
like,
what happened to Bink?
It's a long story. Long story.
You stand in this pedestal-lated room. You know there's double doors at the end. You know Emonrath, that's where the caldera is. There's also other rooms to the side. You also, if you're interested, can make like checks on elementals, knowledge checks, things like that, if you want to learn a little more about what you're up against before you move forward. Anyone has the ability to do that.
Yeah, maybe we're all sitting here and we're trying to get like a quote-unquote sit rep, you know, like...
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing here? Oh, yeah. What have you learned so far? Do you know where they are? Do you know where their movements? Blah blah blah. So maybe we can all just like do a big collective knowledge roll and see what we can all learn collectively?
You have some time. From what you heard when the elementals left last, they were going out to hunt some of the further out terrain as the stuff close to the mountain's been like seared to, you know, the bones of the land. You have time before they come back. If you want to still strike at Paladin, you have time to sort of recover for a minute and then, yeah.
So what do you want for a roll?
If you would like to learn about elementals in general, these fire elementals, salamanders, and this Teleshalotl, I would ask an arcana check.
Okay.
And Emonrath would get advantage on this.
Ooh la la.
I'll also grant, if he wants to use a help action, I'll grant like a plus two on his advantage on somebody else because he can give you a lot of information.
Okay. Yeah. So Emonrath has a plus zero for arcana, but Blanche has a plus eight for arcana. So I'm going to roll.
Hell yeah. Mm.
See what we learn. Oh no. 16.
You get an advantage and a plus two, though.
Oh, ooh. Gosh. I should listen sometimes. Oh, no.
Goodbye, dice. Die down. It's gone down forever. Count that as a zero.
Making me bend over.
Yeah.
14.
Okay, there we go. 14 on the die, plus 10, 24.
Holy shit.
Nice.
Okay. You know of three types of elementals that you've seen here. Well, two types you've seen here and one that you are aware of that's waiting for you. Salamanders are these large humanoid, sort of snake-looking creatures. They have like serpentine lower bodies. They generally roam the plane of fire, but can be called here through any sort of portals or very, very like fiery locations. They were likely spawned here in the heart of this volcano from the plane of fire, and they serve the creature within. Typically, they have features like heated bodies, and that would make it so when you take, do you hit them and do damage to them, they would do damage back to you. The innate magic of this chamber seems like it might actually stop that from happening. It might kind of help to you know, any sort of passive effects like that might not particularly go off. You also know, 24, they are immune to any kind of fire damage, and they are vulnerable to cold.
Cold. Okay.
Countering an element with its counter element like would actually be a pretty effective way to maybe double the effectiveness of your attacks and spells. So
I think I prepped some water spells, but I don't remember if I exactly prepped cold spells.
The Teleshalotl itself, you don't know much about, but you can assume a lot of the same applies to it. If it lives in the heart of this volcano, it likely has... Let's think. You've heard some local rumor. Perhaps you saw the cave walls coming in and you saw like images of these creatures. You saw, I'll give you one more thing with the 24. You saw an image of the Teleshalotl with this ring of magma spreading out around it. You would take that to mean it might be able to ignite itself and essentially erupt with flame in a very devastating way. Sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll have to make sure that, understand, if you're standing close to this Teleshalotl, it could ignite itself and deal a great amount of damage in that area.
My shield will go up in flames, too.
What do you guys want to do? You have this location in front of you. You could fan out, check out the ruins a little bit, or you can just push right forward to those double doors. There's some stairs on the western side, and then opening into a different room on the eastern side. God, I'm so bad at those.
Were you able to explore anything at all, Emonrath?
You were not.
Nada.
Well, we should make sure.
Nada mucho.
We should make sure nothing will come in behind us when we do go to confront the monsters.
Hell yeah.
Where do you want to go?
Jules, which way should we go?
I think Jules wants to go to the right first there.
Which one's that? Is that the stairs?
The one with the stars.
Hell yeah, okay.
The stars, yeah.
Bet at those too.
Is it dark in there?
Everything in here is dim lighting because okay. There's that volcanic sort of magma trenches.
So it's dim light. Jules will give it a little more and cast light onto his.
Ooh. Hell yeah.
He'll cast light from his loot.
You shine the loot light in. And you see this room. Has more murals of people making offering to the gods on the walls. And at the chamber's center stands three statues on short pedestals. one of a tiefling, one of a dwarf, and one of a human, all in poses of supplication. You've noticed those are the three kind of primary races on this world. You see, notably, there are like urns in front of the three statues, but not much else going on in here.
Okay. No inscriptions or anything?
Nothing that you see.
Okay.
Do you want to take a deeper look in, or do you want to leave?
I kind of want to take a deeper look.
Okay. You move in. Do you want to take some time to inspect the whole room, basically?
Yeah.
As you inspect the room, you do see that in the urn in front of the dwarf, there is a small pot with liquid in it. It's a very nondescript, just sort of clay pot with a stopper. Okay. You could feel liquid sloshing around, but you don't know what it is.
Yay.
Unless someone wants to make some kind of check.
Yeah, do we have a mechanical
I was going to ask if I can roll.
Give me your arcana check. Anyone can give it to me.
Hey, Blanche, take a look at this.
Interesting. I have never seen one of those in my life.
Neither have I with a 10.
11.
Okay, well.
You want to roll, see if you get lucky?
Come on, then, in class.
15.
15? Knows more than we do.
Mm-hmm. With the 15, and with your background as an elemental hunter, it seems, as you pop this thing open, take a sniff, smells very sulfuric. It smells of fire itself. It's got that strong, like, sulfuric, but mixed with just, like, the charred smells of a campfire late at night. An orange liquid. And you're looking at this and you think, I do know what this is. This is a single-use potion of fire resistance.
Whoa!
I don't know who wants to take this, but it might be incredibly clutch.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's only fair for you to have it, Emonrath.
Right on.
You've been trapped here long enough. I think you deserve it.
I will take it with pride.
How long does it last?
I believe it lasts 1 hour.
Holy shit.
Might as well just down it, right? Yeah. I'm thinking. I don't think we're going to be in here.
I have to drink check. It. I thought I just poured it over myself.
Plug your nose.
1 hour, yes. So with this, if you drink this thing, did you take it in?
Well, that's what I was asking. Do I have to drink it or wear it?
You have to drink it.
Okay, let's do it. Let's chug it.
It tastes like ashes in your mouth as it drips down. Still like a liquid. Still maybe like helps to, you know, touch the back of the throat. But as you drink it, you feel entirely less hot here. You will take half damage from any fire damage I give you, basically. So I'll make sure to round that down for you as I give it to you.
That's clutch.
Nice. Super, super good.
Yeah.
What did they use that for in this temple?
It seemed like it was like an offering or something, because it was in front of that dwarven statue.
Mm-hmm. Can I talk?
It was in the urn, right?
I can tell you out of character.
Yeah.
This was given to snake eaters that would come to meet with.
Oh.
There's always one on hand that elementals would brew and leave, so a snake eater emissary could go and meet with Paladin without just like
turning into having a Slim Jim.
Sure, yeah, sure. Having a really bad time. Being very uncomfortable, at least. Hell yeah. That's all you see in here. There is these stairs on the other side of the main room there, and there's the double doors.
Oh. I'll hold the bottom of the stairs. Mm. I'll make sure nothing comes up behind you. I think we should investigate before we continue through. There might be more
useful items. Jules will jump in there and with his light going.
As you...
Speaking of light, what is our like party makeup like? Because I know that Blanche has the goggles of night so she can see in dimness and darkness. I don't know about Akio or the other PCs.
I actually don't know if Akio has dark vision. I don't think he does. But he's got this smell, so he's kind of sniffing the way out ahead. Mm. I think that's kind of his main way of moving about.
What about insight? Can you use insight for anything? Or
That's more if you want to check like someone's intentions. Like, you think someone lied to you, you'll insight, and I'll be like, you got me. It. Jules, you move up into what looks like some kind of raided like memorial. Once maybe like a place, you know, of storage, and now it's been kind of carved apart. You see shells are carved into the room's walls, their contents swept onto the floor, reduced to shards of shattered pottery and heaps of ashes. A mural on the north wall depicts erupting volcanoes and smoke in the shape of tiny people drifting into the sky. Something about that reminds you of the tales you heard in town of the ash rise, the coming apocalypse.
Okay.
But that's all you see in here. Nothing really too exciting.
Okay. Is there anything else to see if I roll for anything?
I'll tell you no.
Okay. Cool. Nothing here, Blanche.
All right. Very well. We checked, and Emonrath does have dark vision.
Oh, sweet. Nice. Yeah. Oh, so you're totally fine. Yeah, that's right. Half elf. That's right. Hell yeah.
What now? Do you proceed to death?
I think so.
I think it's time we introduce ourselves.
Let's go into the other room.
I'm trying to decide, like, if we should, like, buff outside the room now.
That might not be a bad idea.
Let me see what I got for buffs.
I got some bless.
Ooh, some bless.
I got some bless. Only first level, unfortunately, but...
If I monologue, it won't count against your buffs. I won't monologue much. So... It's like the give and take of buffs in D&Ds. I gotta, like, let you have your boss post monologue, so you let me have my monologues. It's like the bargain players make with the ends.
I mean, the only... Gosh, do I want to do Shadow Blade? Yeah, I'm going to cast Shadow Blade at third level, so that's a minute, and I will use another instance of Blade Song, so that's another one minute.
Nice.
So, ready to go. Did you, I'm sorry, I was like half reading and half listening. Did you pop Bless?
Yes, I'm going to pop Bless on Blanche, Emonrath, and Akio.
And that's an extra D4?
That's an extra D4 for attacks or saves.
Sweet.
For up to a minute.
Sweet.
It's concentration, though, so I gotta keep an eye on that.
If it drops, it drops.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
So we'll go with that for now. Actually, hold on.
Oh.
Let's start off with a bardic onto... Let's also put a bardic onto Blanche.
Hell yeah. The way I'll view it with buffs like this is... Like, it's not hard to concentrate. They'll last longer if you're not in active, stressful combat, right?
Sure.
It's like there's the strain minutes and there's minutes.
Right.
That's my David way of justifying.
I hear you.
Yeah.
You guys going in?
I have a spell here that's locate animals. Would that work on these salamanders?
In this case, it wouldn't because they are considered elementals. Or I think that would mostly only work on beast-type creatures. But... You know, you do have an ability. You can burn a spell slot to sense. You can't sense the number of them, but you could sense if there are elementals nearby. Primeval awareness, I believe it's called.
Is that a feature?
Actions.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
You burn it, and you feel a very powerful elemental presence ahead of you, a short ways. You can't pinpoint exactly where. You don't know how many either, but you know... She is there.
Steven.
Jeremy.
I'm considering going invisible to start.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah.
Fun?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Do you have
I'm double checking it right now.
Is it greater or is it just invisibility?
It's just invisibility. Ah, it's concentration.
Oh.
Yeah. It's okay. I can find other use for it. I'd rather have Bless out there to start.
The key opens the doors. Roof, I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. You guys opening the doors?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who's opening the doors?
Emonrath, let's take the van. Akio, you protect Jules.
Yes. Master Blanche.
And I can just imagine Emonrath and Blanche each with like an arm and a shoulder against one of the big doors, and they just in sync push them open.
The three disciples. I love this. Like the two of you together, the wave and the wind, the thunder just behind. You push these doors open, staring into another small chamber with two more double doors.
Oh my God.
Crates and heaps of supplies around a stone altar with a flaming burning in a depression with a flame burning there we go in a depression at its center. Stone double doors lead to the north and south because you know you just went to the south ones. The door to the north is carved with the image of a frilled lizard-like creature amid flames. Now this is the real one. You can feel it, you know it. This is like where the offerings are. You see like foodstuffs, a lot of it's empty now.
Okay,
but
gotcha.
This is like the offering chamber.
All right, well,
what open those doors?
Let's try this again.
We already wasted the cool one.
Steal yourselves again.
Round two.
And once again, we see dramatically poof, the doors open, and this time into the caldera.
Ooh.
The masonry of the shrine gives way to the natural formation of Volcano's caldera. The immediate shore of this cavern is around 45 feet wide and stretches out in a J shape along the walls. A blast of heat and gas billow off the lake of magma roiling here. I love that word, roiling. At the magma's edge stands a pair of ornate altars carved of obsidian. Beyond, sooty rock juts into the molten lake. And something or some things move amid the lava. As the doors open, on the eastern edge of the shore, the short end of the J, a strange creature slithers out of the magma, a large snake, body covered in red-hot spines that fan out like the tendrils of a flame. It's nearly the size of a man as it rises on its coiled form and hisses. Now let me get that so you can see it. Boom.
Oh.
And?
Gross.
God. Here's the picture. Maybe we'll take a look at that thing.
Ooh.
Nice. There's one.
Is that one of the Otl guys?
That is a fire snake.
Oh,
one of the smaller forms you've seen. They are actually the, you would know actually, they are the children version of the salamanders. Within the first year, they are fire snakes, and they kind of just turn to salamanders. On the western side of the shore, the J-shape's long end, a similar creature rises, though this one is much larger than a man. While the lower body of the thing is also serpentine, its form also wreathed in the same flame-like spines. This one has a humanoid chest and arms. It has a crested reptilian face with long tendrils around the mouth and wields a spear of gleaming obsidian. One of the ones you recognize, Stomp, one of the salamanders.
Oh, boy.
That caught you. It looks Holy like shit. This.
That's a big one.
Oh, my God.
That's a big one.
We're not even at the fun one yet.
Fuck.
And finally, something large stirs within the magma itself between the two others. It rises slowly to the surface, lava flowing off of black scales looking like layers of glowing ash. A great maw opens, lined with sharp teeth and backed by an intense glow of heat. Frills, almost like burning flower petals, line the sides of the head. Black eyes turn to regard you, shining in the light of the caldera. This fucker looks like this.
Oh,
look at my that awesome God. Thing. Look at that.
That is it's the most disgusting thing we've ever
it's
faced.
It's just a flaming axolotl.
Yeah, if you've ever seen an axolotl on fire, but also huge and terrifying, you get the idea. Let me put that on the map. Boom.
Oh no, it's so big.
Holy shit.
It's so big and on fire.
The room begins to grow hotter. The magic of the temple strand contained the volcano's fury. The great maw of the Teleshalotl, Powaladin, begins to rise and fall in speech. Deep Ignan primordial, most of which Emonrath can actually understand, just but the salamander, the more humanoid serpent, does begin to translate for the rest of you.
I am the great Powaladin, spirit of Jade Mound. You,
points to you, Jules, and you, Blanche, have survived the ogres of Mor
and have come to free Emonrath from his fate. You are fierce hunters. I will give you one chance. You may leave this place as part of a new Kathdrakan, the ones now called the Snake Eaters, those who once hunted the very gods. Empowered by my ancient knowledge and granted boons of magic and riches by me, you will hunt for me. Feed my flame. Do this and see no end to the rewards I can grant. Or you can be consumed now by nature's most voracious predator, fire itself. Of course, regardless of your choice, Emonrath will need to die. His crackling flesh has been a feast long awaited by me.
And the creatures in the room go still, poised, and waiting for your answer. Oh, shoot. I didn't put your characters on the map, did I? Whoopsies.
No, you didn't.
They're all right there in GM layer. I just didn't realize I didn't put them. Oop. All right, put your guys in the room. Get in that there room.
I wanna.
Can you move your guys?
Let me move Blanche first. Ah, hey, why'd she move back?
Oops, sorry. And then I'll give you permissions on Emonrath, Steven.
Okay.
So you guys are going to that computer.
Gimme, gimme.
There you go. You still in the Vanguard, Emonrath?
Oh, yeah, I think so. With that spell.
Exactly the order you came in. Keywood and Jules in the back. Blanche and Emonrath standing in front, right in between these two altars of obsidian. Emonrath's got this sort of light, pale orange glow as the potion's effects. And you feel, again, the room is getting hotter for all of you. Hotter and hotter to where it almost feels like you can't stand to be in here. Like it's fighting the sort of innate magic of this place. It's wrestling with it, trying to break it. What is your answer?
Blanche will answer. Paula Deen.
Paula Deen.
Paula Deen. Rather than serve you, I think it would be best to end you here. Finish what Emonrath has done. We'll see an end to it today.
With this potion, I could really go for a nice dip in that hot tub to cure this worm.
You do think that might be a terrible idea still. Okay. Go in the lava will do bad things to you. Okay. Potion or not. A lot less bad, but still bad. You're the only one that could feasibly swim in the lava. I will say that.
How about the other two smaller creatures? Can they enter the lava?
They are also fire immune. So you have resistance to it. You get Hank. They get no damage from fire, so they can freely move through it. You make that response. You all ready yourselves for combat?
Yeah.
Ready.
Blanche flourishes her shadow blade. Oh, what is the lighting in here?
Oh, actually...
It says dim light in every room, so I'm assuming this isn't open to the surface, so even though there's a glow from the lava, you're still within the earth, so dim light.
Okay, so then maybe we can get a an area on Jules's light spell, because if Blanche is outside of that light, then I get advantage on attacks with...
Yeah, I think it's still going. Let me just stand by.
Yeah, yeah, I can put a radius on it for you.
Oh, yeah, it's 1 hour. Oh, yeah.
So what's the radius? It's 10 feet bright?
20 foot bright.
20 foot bright, okay.
For an additional 20 feet is dim.
I'm going to switch that, and I'm going to make it so Blanche has full access to your token as well, just so she can see the radius I'm putting up.
Cool. Is that the full 40? Because it's 20 bright, and then the
40
additional
20. Won't
oh, it's already dim light.
It's dim.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's already dim.
So only the bright will matter for Shadow
Blade. Cool.
Okay. This creature... The cavern begins to shake and rumble with lava boiling. The creatures move forward to strike. Let's roll for initiative.
All right.
Ooh.
Does Bless doesn't count for initiative, does it? I don't think so.
No, it's I think it's saves and attacks.
Oh, no, just a 6. So hold on, let me find Blanche's initiative first. So 10 for Blanche.
Jules is a 14.
8.
Is that with your plus 4?
No, so 12.
Sweet.
What about Akio?
Oh, right, Akio. Yeah, yeah.
What about me?
I think he's got a 3 dex, I think. Oh!
Advantage on initiative, I believe, because he has his...
Oh, right, he does have a thing. Well, relevance. It's already...
Already crazy?
Yeah, 21 for Akio.
Nice.
Hell yeah. Okay. Getting hot in the volcano.
Mm-hmm.
Top of the round. First things first. As I said before... All of these things in this room have heated body or fire aura effect. But in terms of keeping things kind of moving quickly, I'm going to say that it is dampened a bit by the innate magic of the temple. But I will have a very different mechanic to account for all this mist damage, which will occur at the top of each round. A very important con save that you will all need to make, because as this thing roars out, as the ground shakes, as this thing, the fire sort of bubbles, it gets hot. Hot, hot in here. The protections are failing against the heat of this elemental. Con saves for everybody.
Oh, wow. Right now?
Yep. Cool. Top of the round, baby.
Okay. You guys both get an extra d4.
Yes. Sweet. Okay. So that's a plus 5 for Blanche.
So does Akio. Jules did not take one.
Plus 2 for Akio. And Emonrath's con is a plus 4.
Oh, fuck. It
hit on a 20.
That.
And then rolled off the 20.
Oh, no.
And it went to an 8 plus 5. So that is 12. Fuck.
Oh, nice. 18 plus 7.
Yep.
So, Emonrath's good.
Hell yeah.
Ooh, a 10 for Blanche.
Ooh.
Oops, I didn't roll my... Okay, 13 for Blanche. Oh, no. 8 for Akio.
Oh, my God. I rolled really high.
Fuck.
We're off to a really scary start. Just a heads up. Who rolled above 15? Just Emonrath?
Yep.
Emonrath rolled, like, above 25.
Jesus Christ.
This is a super high roll on this. Is this even mathematically possible? Let me hit the numbers real fast. Hang on. That just seems impossible, right? I can't roll this high, right? I guess I can. That's 19 points of damage. Halved for Emonrath to 8. Is that right?
Is it fire damage?
It is fire. Oh, halved again to Emonrath to 4. Emonrath barely... feeling it, this heat, but as this surge of fire rips out towards you, your clothes sort of billowing in this like burning wind, you take a massive amount of damage to start things off. Like I said, very, very high roll. And now, let's open this up with Akio. Once again, singed. Akio's gotten burned in the last 3 combats. It's all fire stuff lately.
I don't think I can change Emonrath's HP on. I think I'm just viewing it.
Oh, I see. Okay, I can do that for you.
Okay. Sorry, let me just take my damage for...
So this is happening every round?
Might be.
Fuck. 19 damage. You
just... I was honestly in shock when I saw when I was doing that. I was like, wow, that is... It's very high for the roll. It was... Yeah.
Okay.
And you all failed, which... Oof.
So my intention for Akio was to give him Ichigenka for the start of this fight.
Whoa. Okay.
So I'd like Akio with Ichigenka to run up.
Yeah, the fire snake on one side, the salamander on the other, and then in the magma itself, not really moving into yet, is Poaladin.
Yes, so Akio's going to run up to the fire snake and make 2 attacks with Ichigenka.
Okay, snake just... hisses with flame. He moves up, sliding into it. Give me those 2 attacks.
Plus 8 with Ichigenka. Ooh, the first one is a 16 on the die.
With my Storch's Blade, I strike you down rough!
The second one is just a 13.
13 total?
13 total.
The second one will miss.
Okay. And let me double check Ichigenka's damage. I think it's a D8.
He does not have Bless, correct, Akio?
No, Akio has Bless.
Oh, Akio has Bless?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
D4.
Akio has Bless.
In fact, don't need to. He will hit.
Blanche, Akio, and Emonrath.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, great.
He will hit twice. As long as you add 1 to that, he'll hit twice.
Okay, awesome. Great. So that's 2d8 plus 5.
Good shit, Jules.
Oh. That's 20 for over 2 swings of
Ichigenka.
20 damage,
yeah. All told?
Nice.
Here's a fun question. This thing reads up... Akio slides in super fast, pushing against the buffeting hot wind, slides up to this thing, slices. Describe for me how he kills the fire snake in one round.
Nice.
He just, with Ichigenka in his mouth, he just does 2 quick shakes of his head, and the second one lops his head right off.
It burns away. One foe dropped. Instantly, the smallest mind, but one dropped.
Nice.
That's Akio. Holy shit, that is going to be. Hey, don't celebrate yet. That's gonna be the Teleshalotl. Do I use this now? Wait, I think Jules. Well, if I move closer, I will move closer. The Teleshalotl is going to move.
No.
Right up to the edge of the arena, where he's kind of in like sort of the opened what do you call it, the open part of the J, the lower part of the J between all the J shit. He's in there.
He's in the bay.
He's in the bay. There we go. I like that. Not the J, it's the bay now. He slides up into the bay, gets right up in front of you guys, in front of those altars, this huge, powerful creature. And I'm going to do something so gross that you're going to poop yourselves.
Yeah, we're all bundled up.
As it sort of like splashes down and you see those like ashen scales sort of open, the mouth wide, and gouts of molten lava erupt from the Teleshwal's body. It sounds like explosion raining over you. Each creature. Oh, shit.
Haha.
Damn it. Okay, well, fuck. Okay, well, I already committed. Gotta in a 30-foot radius.
That's everything on this
that's
map.
That's my guy,
This is not a big map.
It's my guy, too. I didn't pay attention to that. Gotta make dex saves, all of you.
Oh, my God. Okay.
As this is all splashing down.
Fucking
fire
hell.
And stone scale ripping off it.
Don't forget, you got Bless Active and Blanche has Bardic.
Oh, no, my God.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yep. The sum of those two plus 8.
You said a dex?
Yes.
Jesus Dexterity. Christ.
Oh, no. Come on, my guy. You can be you're gonna be okay. Why did I do this to myself?
Ooh, natural 20. 8.
Okay, just barely. 15? Good.
You said just what?
15? Sorry, me.
Oh. Low I'm like, with a natural 20, I would hope it's just there. Or more than just there.
Oh, this is gonna suck.
Oh, wait, don't I get... Okay. That was a 12 for Akio, 18 for Blanche.
I'm in wrath.
What did I roll? That was a 15 plus 8.
Mm-hmm.
So 15 plus 8?
15 plus 8. Jewels.
What?
What'd you roll?
I told you.
Oh, I forgot.
Oh, I rolled a natural 20.
Oh, holy damn. Shit. Yeah. That's really good. That's really good.
Yeah.
Sorry, my brain was in the land of flames. as pyroclasm unleashes on you all, Akio is the only one that actually fails this, which is really good because only Akio is going to take another 22 points of damage.
Oh, no.
Holy shit.
The rest of you will take half of that. And Emonrath can shave 3 off that. So that is going to be 22 half to 11. Emonrath, you only take 8 points of damage. Everyone else takes 11 points of damage.
Even with a natural 20?
Yes.
Fuck off.
But you don't take the full hit. You guys all kind of weave. Keo, I think when he like took out the guy on the top, he's sort of stuck in a corner here. He's in a bad spot. He couldn't really get away. He has lava on one side of him. So as this bursts out, he's not able to get in a good spot. And he just gets pelted by it, burned and singed. The rest of you can like dive behind the altars as this goes. You only take some damage. But that is going to be my move. That's all I got. Oh, that's worth noting. The Teleshalotl also does shed bright light in a 30-foot radius. So if you're close to it, Blanche, as it kind of comes out and this happens, you see like as that burns, like this fire comes out, a great light emanates washing over you. Damn. And your shadow blade begins to diminish a little bit. Sorry, not sorry.
That's a stinker.
And that's Jules.
Mm. Question. Are there... There's walls, correct?
Yes.
Are there any ledges?
Not... You know what? This probably opens up. I think it's like, I would say the farther out this room goes, the wider it gets. Right where you are, the room is kind of low. But I'll say up in the corner, kind of near where the larger elevator, the long side of the J, there are some ledges where the walls get about 20 feet high, and there's like a 10-foot sort of up ledge.
Cool. Cool.
That makes sense. That's cool. Mm-hmm. It's fun.
All right. Fuck. Okay. How's Blanche doing for HP?
About halfway.
Okay.
But we just haven't even had a turn yet.
I know. Wow. Go
same.
Figure.
Jules is about the same.
It's almost like I'm a wizard with 54 HP.
Table talk, what's your con?
High
con? Okay.
Everyone is high con here, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So Jules is going to cast Enhance Ability onto Blanche.
Ooh.
So that you can have advantage on...
Oh, yeah, yeah, I did put... I did say saves or will work earlier for con. You know what? I'm gonna let that stand. Yeah, I like that.
So,
that's cool. That's really cool. And I like it a lot.
So I get advantage on con saves?
It's a it's a concentration, so everybody loses bless.
Okay.
But you can choose save to get advantage on, which I assume is going to be Constitution.
Yeah, that's
smart. The idea with it. So you get advantage on checks, and also you gain 2d6 temporary hit points.
I house ruled earlier that you also do get advantage on saves way, way back. I hoisted with that petard today, but I will allow it unless somebody tells me why I'm an idiot for allowing it.
11 temp HP. That's huge.
That is nice. Insanity.
Nice. All right, cool. So that
second
is,
level spell. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and then I'm going to cast Bardic Inspiration onto myself.
Hell yeah. That's it. Blanche, your abs tighten up. hell yeah, you cast Bardic Inspiration. You glow with a golden moat surrounding you, jewels, and you stand firm, this creature bearing over your allies in front of you. That would be the Fire Snake, but it's super dead. So that's going to be Emonrath. Emonrath! Your first turn in a long, long time.
Yeah, just absorbing this. So I don't have my weapons yet, do I?
Oh, sorry. We'll say they were actually. I totally goofed. They were up in that room with the empty shells.
The one you said that had nothing in it.
I didn't put it in my notes because I'm dumb. You have your weapons. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So since my HP is good, I have a longbow, right?
You have a plus one longbow, yes.
Nice. I'd like to take a try on the bow.
You probably got that from the hunter you killed, actually, the night elf.
Yeah, let's do that.
Or dark elf. Night elves are Warcraft.
So I pull out the bow and...
That's a plus eight.
Yeah, plus eight.
Are you shooting at the big thing or the bigger thing?
the primary.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, the primary.
Paladin turns, regards you. You draw your bow, knock arrow, stare into that flaming maw.
Got a 4 plus 8. So 12?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got a 12.
12. Do you have Bless on?
Bless is inactive now.
It is now inactive.
He dropped Bless.
I've got to start paying attention. Okay. with only a 12, you do not hit. You have two attacks, though, as a ranger at this level, so you can try again. The first one gets stuck, and it bounces off like a jagged, rocky tooth.
Another 12.
Oh my god.
Oh no. Ooh, yeah. Pew, pew. You're firing. This thing is just so unstoppable as it stares you down. You have a bonus action. You cast one of your spells if you want to, or you can hold.
Speak with animal. No. Hunter's mark.
A squirrel's like, I know its weakness. Hunter's mark. Hell yeah. Yeah. I love that. You
Let's
just
do it.
Boom, point out. And again, just like before, you lock this thing with the gaze of a hunter. You look at this creature. This burning flame, this great predator, and you see it as prey, and it knows this shiver down its long, molten back. Hell yeah. That means on subsequent hits, you'll do more damage, basically. And that's your turn?
That'd be my second strike, right?
Yep, so that's all you would have. You have the bonus action. You've already done your two attacks, so you wouldn't be able to do any more. But Hunter's Mark will work on your next turn. You'll now have... anytime you actually do hit this thing, you'll do more damage.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Okay. And that's going to be Blanche.
Okie dokie.
Blanche, your HP's looking pretty bad over there. What's going on?
Yep. Blanche is going to step to the opposite side of the J towards salamander here.
Okay.
And from about, it's 20-ish feet away, she's going to cast Chromatic Orb at third level. And she's going to choose...
Oh, don't do it.
Cold damage.
Don't fucking... Oh. No, third level, oh. What is this going to do? Okay, you know what? All right, I'm in.
So let's see. That's a plus 10 to hit.
Where were you throwing that?
17. Okay, yeah, 17 on the die. Sweet. I think I'm going to use the Bless for the extra damage.
Oh, that's inspiration.
Inspiration.
Not the Bless. Yeah, that's what I meant is the inspiration.
Jules has that. You don't? No, you have it in the room.
No, Blanche does.
I have it too.
I gotta start paying attention.
Would it be advantageous to use it here, you think,
so
Jeremy?
With what it is you roll it, and then he has to make a con save.
The con save against the attack, though, right?
A DC.
Okay.
Yeah.
DC, Jules spellcasting DC.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
DC 16, or else it takes damage equal to the Bardic.
Sweet.
So it could get up to 8 extra.
Sweet. Let's see if we can do some extra damage.
Okay.
7.
Nice, nice.
On the die. So
got to make a con save.
That is a fail.
Ooh.
Excellent. Nice. So it takes 7 thunder damage.
Thunder damage.
Cool.
And how much else?
And 5d8 cold damage.
Ooh.
Like, I love that your golden moat channels into your... What does your Wand of the War Mage look like?
Oh, I hadn't... it looks like it's a piece of driftwood.
Holy shit, that's cool as hell.
Yeah.
Just like this golden moat transfers into that. You blast out and this orb of freezing energy launches forth, strikes this creature in the chest. The golden sort of moat inside of that explodes it with thunder damage as cold rips through this thing.
I'm just finding one more D8.
Oh gosh, they're so far back.
Yo.
What?
There's a couple eights in there.
Ooh.
That's 30.
Holy shit.
30 damage?
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
30 damage?
You just did 37 damage to this thing?
No.
No, she did it. 67.
She did 60.
Wait, what?
Oh, former ability.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, my God.
What?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What?
This thing is...
Whoa.
Practically dead.
Holy shit.
Hell yeah.
This ice blasts out, ripping through. You see it screams. It's like it's being torn apart. Shards of ice ripping through its elemental form. Holy shit. Is it the biggest hit we've seen on the show?
Quick, strike now while it's awake.
Damn, dude. I'm going to get you now. it's going to now move up to you. It like... slithers up to you in a rage. You see the embers on its body so cooled it barely like you barely feel its heat as it comes around you, but it's trying to like embolden itself, trying to recover, barely alive. I need to roll a strength saving throw. It's going to try to constrict you.
Oh no.
Oh my gosh.
Blanche
is
not good with strength. I probably should have saved that bardic for that.
I need this to work because you have got me in a bad, bad spot.
Do I use a button for this?
Oh, how many do you only have?
I only got one.
You only have one.
Well, we swap places, so I actually have all your buttons.
I might need it.
That means he's got three there.
Yeah, oh, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I might need it for a death save later, so I'm going to hold on to it. Let's just roll, and it's a +0 for strength for Blanche. Yeah, David figured out as long as you can ignore armor class, you can hit Blanche. Oh, that's an 11.
Ooh. Ooh.
Oh,
this
no.
This thing leaps onto you. Fully wraps around you.
Fuck. What?
I'm gonna do some damage. That is 8 points of bludgeoning and 4 points of fire damage. Not very good rolls.
Okay.
It's not the worst.
That's my temp HP anyway.
It wraps around you and you are now restrained. As it's trying to close you.
You will pay for your insolence.
As you are bound and restricted, Blanche, by this creature. Deeper into the room, as Akio stands over the ashen remains of one of its young. As Jules and Emrath stand facing Pawaladin, the Teleshalotl itself, as a room grows hotter and hotter, volcano at the edge of destruction, I think we'll call it there.